modeling and simulator enthusiasts prepare to descend on Orlando. CAE is building two more sims for Shanghai Aircraft. And Redbird Flight Simulations is expanding despite the recession. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 24th, 2009. In the U.S., for most of us, this is likely to be a short week punctuated by the ingestion of turkey and fixins at some point. But next Monday, the world's largest exhibition of modeling, simulation, and virtual reality is scheduled to open in Orlando. The Inter-Service Industry Training, Simulation, and Education Conference will feature almost 500 exhibitors in 200,000 square feet of floor space. In addition to the latest flight sim technology, dozens of other exhibitors will display medical simulation technology, including virtual ERs and emergency procedures, first response simulations, predictive simulations of disease spread, and remote surgical and other procedures. There's also a big presence by elite computer game developers, and highly anticipated competitions are held during the show. Modeling and simulation professionals from government, military, industry, and academia will all be represented. ANN and Aero TV will be there to bring you highlights. As you might expect with that show looming, companies producing sim products seize upon this time to make sales and product announcements. Among them, CAE says it has sold two CAE 7000 series ARJ21700 Level D full flight simulators to Comac Shanghai Aircraft Customer Service in China. The contract's valued at $35 million Canadian at list prices and brings the total FFS sales announced by CAE so far during fiscal 2010 to 12. Shanghai Aircraft President Xu Qinghong is obviously proud of his new plane. Quote, "We are building the ARJ-21 to be the finest regional aircraft in the world. So we want the aircraft's pilots to train using the best simulators in the world. And those are CAE simulators. The Chinese name for the ARJ-21, Shangfeng, means soaring phoenix. And we expect the ARJ-21 to soar ahead of other regional jet aircraft, especially in hot and high altitude conditions." Unquote. CAE is currently producing the world's first ARJ-21 full-flight simulator, which is expected to be ready for training by the middle of next year. The two just ordered will be delivered at the end of 2010 and in 2012, respectively. The Royal Australian Air Force says it has received a C-17 heavy airlifter simulator from Boeing. It's the first one to be owned by a foreign government. The sim will allow Aussie pilots to be trained domestically instead of having to travel to the U.S., Boeing built the sim in the U.S. and installed it in a purpose-built facility at RAAF Base Amberley in Queensland. There are 20 other C-17 sims in the world, and every one is owned and operated by the U.S. Air Force. Redbird Flight Simulations announced an expansion of its operation in Austin, Texas last week, and has also added key support and executive staff. CEO Todd Willinger says the company's products are growing in popularity with flight schools. Quote, "Our expansion is not only crucial in keeping up with demand in a timely manner, but equally necessary in providing exceptional customer service and support." Unquote. Since the FAA approved Redbird's AATDs in 2008, the company says it has exceeded its sales projections by over 50%. The expansion totals 6,000 square feet of manufacturing and office space and a number of new key hires. Get full details in the print version of this story, dated November 22nd, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Pratt & Whitney's legacy hardware may still be moonworthy. Augusta Westland North America wins a U.S. Navy contract. And OneSky Aviation now has an STC for enhanced vision on the Cessna 206. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 24th. I'm Paul Plack. There's been lots of excitement lately about small private companies developing space hardware, but the big guys aren't standing still either. Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne says it has successfully completed hot fire thruster tests demonstrating the ability of miniaturized thrusters to perform descent and landing for multi-use robotic lunar landers. The company describes the tests as a risk reduction activity done to show NASA that heritage hardware can satisfy its future requirements. Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne has provided the main engines for the Space Shuttle, Atlas and Delta launch vehicles, missile defense systems, and advanced hypersonic engines. The U.S. Navy has awarded Augusta Westland North America a contract worth $17.3 million to provide depot-level maintenance on three Egyptian Mark II variant H-3 helicopters. The contract fully funds complete refurbishment of the aircraft structure and all components. The company will also complete all safety checks to ensure the aircraft are flight-ready. Work will be carried out at the company's 88,000-square-foot maintenance, repair, and overhaul facility in Hagerstown, Maryland. Up to 20 new employees are expected to be added to the existing staff of 26. The work is expected to be completed in December of next year. OneSky Aviation of Anchorage, Alaska, says the number of aircraft models eligible for retrofit with EVS 1500 Enhanced Vision has grown to 159, with the addition of a new STC for the Cessna 206. OneSky co-owner Kerry Foster says, quote, "The incorporation of EVS into the Cessna aircraft provides for significantly enhanced overall situational awareness, which up here in Alaska is extremely important. We look forward to the full integration with the panel-installed Garmin G1000 system on this aircraft in the very near future, which will provide an even further enhancement to capabilities for the U.S. Marshal Service C-206," unquote. Still ahead, does it seem like 10 years already? Do we really need three separate programs to make UAVs see and avoid? And High River, we're 10 miles to your southeast, inbound over. What is that? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 24th. I'm Paul Plack. It doesn't seem possible. It's time for Aero News Network to celebrate 10 years of continuous 24/7 aviation and aerospace news coverage on the web. As does any organization with adequate self-esteem, we're about to engage in the appropriate level of hoopla, but we also want input from you. If you've had an experience with ANN which was memorable in the past 10 years, or were moved by a particular event or story we covered, Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell would like to hear from you. Email jim@aero-news.net and put "What has ANN meant to you?" in the subject line, and stay tuned for more. While the FAA and its advisory organizations struggle to find cost-effective ways to integrate unmanned aircraft into the see-and-avoid paradigm of the national airspace system, a parallel effort may be going on in a venue where cost-effectiveness is a much lower priority, the U.S. military. Military and Aerospace Electronics reports on its website that the U.S. Office of Naval Research is asking industry to develop a collision avoidance system which would allow UAVs to detect the presence of other aircraft nearby, even if those other aircraft have no transponders or other special equipment. First candidates for the system would be the Navy's MQ-8B Fire Scout unmanned helicopter and the Army's Tier 2 RQ-7 Shadow 200 fixed-wing UAV. And then, in yet another effort you could call parallel, if you don't like the words duplicate or redundant, the U.S. Air Force has issued what's called a broad agency announcement, looking for technology for its multi-vehicle unmanned aircraft systems sense and avoid program, which has the same goal of allowing integration of UAVs into the NAS. The irony, of course, is that the programs themselves may be on a collision course. And finally today, if you can't keep them flying, maybe old warbirds have a future as parts of gigantic works of art. In a farmer's field near Nanton, Alberta, 6 months of hard work and 20 truckloads of gravel have been used to create a compass rose 100 yards in diameter. 12 points around the circle are each marked by a partially buried Avro Anson, a type which was used to train pilots of the British Commonwealth during the Second World War. University of Alberta visual arts professor and artist Keith Harder found the old planes in a boneyard and got a grant from the school to create the display. Harder says the project salutes the hidden stories and the roles these aircraft played during their heyday. You can see an aerial photo in the text version of this story, dated November 23rd, at aero-news.net. One thing's for sure, if this thing ever becomes a VFR reporting point, I'd love to hear the radio chatter. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Tony Stillman of the Academy of Model Aeronautics, who will tell us why AOPA thought it was important to have radio-controlled models flying at the summit in Tampa. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.